podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
I am Sandra Blumenrath. I'm a DIA science writer, and I'm joined here by Nicole Zhao from the University of British Columbia. And she won the second best student poster presentation at DIA today, so congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so what is the title of your poster?
I love the title of my poster because it starts with a quote from one of the patients that participated in this research. So the title starts as, "Like we have a choice," which is actually a direct quote. And it's about a qualitative study of participants' or patients' views on epoetin biosimilars in anemia of chronic kidney disease.
Okay. So what inspired you to conduct this research?
So I was inspired to conduct this research because there's actually been a lot of clinical studies done on biosimilars of epoetin. Epoetin is a drug that's used to treat anemia of chronic kidney diseases or of cancers and other types of anemia. And biosimilar drugs of epoetin have been around in Europe for 10 to 15 years. And so a lot of clinical studies have been done on this drug. So it's shown that it's safe and effective and that it's equivalent to the originator. But despite having so much clinical evidence, there isn't a lot of views from patients' perspective about biosimilars in general. So I was really inspired by patients' views and just in general how patients feel about biosimilar drugs. And that's why I wanted to conduct this qualitative study.
Yeah, patients are generally a little bit more reluctant to actually get biosimilars as a treatment. Is that right?
Yes, I think generally there might be some fears or just a lack of understanding. You know, we kind of fear what we don't know. So I think generally they might have some concerns around the similarity of these drugs to the originator drugs, whether they're as effective or as safe, even though there's clinical evidence, which we also try to convey to the patients that participated in the study. Despite having that information, there's still a lot of feelings that they have about using this new type of drug, which is understandable. So what we really wanted to do was to ask them to discuss their feelings and also in generally what they were concerned about with the biosimilars.
So what were some of your main findings and the conclusions you could draw from that study?
We found five themes, which is a qualitative sort of approach. It's deriving themes from people's discussions. So we found five themes. The first two themes were around sort of how safe the biosimilar was, whether they were as similar as possible to the originator. So those are some of more objective, I would say, concerns. But the three remaining themes were mostly about people's sentiment and their values around using a drug that they didn't really know about, that they weren't familiar with. So they were also quite concerned about saving costs for the government while putting their health at potential risk. So that was one major concern that we found from this research, was that patients, if they're already stable with their disease on an existing drug, they didn't want to switch to a biosimilar, which is understandable. So they felt that they were put in a position to switch to a drug with less evidence while trying to save money for the government or a payer.
Yeah, that's a common concern that patients have, that they're switching to something that is less effective than something that's already on the market. And so that risk, taking that risk, is really something that they don't want to do in some cases.
Exactly, yeah.
So are you proposing any solutions to that problem in your study too?
So this was really the first step of a series of work that we were doing. So the findings from this part of the study, we've created actually what's called a discrete choice experiment. So it's actually a quantitative survey where we try to quantify these concerns that patients have and to see whether they have certain preferences and the magnitude of their preferences for a biosimilar or an originator drug. So that part of the survey actually has been launched both in a sample of patients in Canada and in the US. So that's an ongoing study currently. And we're hoping that we find either additional information from that part of the survey or some corroborating information for this part that we've already seen in the qualitative work.
So do you remember or do you know how many patients have taken the survey?
I cannot give you numbers off the top of my head, but it's actually, the survey's closed now in the US, so we've completed our, we've reached our sample size. But in Canada, it's ongoing, so I don't want to divulge too much information about it. But I'm hoping actually at the end of both the qualitative and the quantitative piece of this work, that we can maybe come up with some recommendations or maybe an education program moving forward to help patients and help clinicians work together to find the best solutions to adopt biosimilars.
So how did you get inspired to do this type of research? How did you get interested in that particular topic and not something else?
I'm a pharmacist and I'm doing my PhD right now. So I do a lot of epidemiology research in my PhD and also have a background in health economics. So I think this topic really just kind of merged my interest in pharmacy, health economics, and epidemiology. So I find this to be sort of like a triangulation of my education and my expertise. So that was one inspiration, but also just, you know, seeing that patients tend to have a lot of fears around medications in general, but also new medications that they're not familiar with. And especially I find if they're being put in a position to be asked to change their medication, especially in a case where it might be to save costs for the healthcare system, they may not be so willing, or they might be very vulnerable to feeling skeptical or feeling a bit just hesitant.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what do you hope this research will contribute to in terms of this current study that you've done, but also your future research? How do you think you can contribute to the field?
Right. So actually, I mean, this particular biosimilar study was about epoetin biosimilars for anemia. But actually, I think the implications apply to all biosimilars, because really it's just about patients' views and their values, and also about maybe creating some recommendations for clinicians as well, and maybe even payers and manufacturers too. So I do think that it actually applies more than to just epoetin biosimilars, but all biosimilars. And a lot are coming out, as we know. And it's an emerging topic, I think.
Especially in the US, I think it's important to focus a little more on biosimilars than in Europe, for example. Biosimilars are much more accepted than in the United States. And I think we can maybe also learn a little bit from Europe and in like how they've tackled that issue, how to make biosimilars more acceptable in the patient population and so on and so forth. So what are you going to tackle next?
What am I going to tackle next? Oh, that's a really good question. So currently I have nothing upcoming for biosimilars research, but I am actually at the very tail end of my PhD. So I'm about to graduate next year.
So
my focus right now is to successfully graduate from my PhD and we'll see after that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nicole.
Thank you.
And thank you to our audience for listening and for watching. I'm Sandra Blumenrath, DIA Science Writer. Thank you very much.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.